back to the podcast. Today, my guest is Samuel Sturba. Hi, Sam. It's so great to have you today on the podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Of course. So do you mind introducing yourself to everyone?
Yeah. Well, as of today, my name is legally changed to Samuel Aiden Sturba. So hi, I use he, him pronouns. I'm 20 years old and yeah.
Awesome. Okay. So yeah, so today we'll be talking about your journey transitioning and several other things. So I'll just go right ahead and start. What is your normal mental health like on a daily basis?
Yeah, it's normally pretty moderate. I tend to not get in my head so much.
That's good.
I do have flare-ups every now and then, but for the most part, it's pretty level.
Okay, so can you describe like those flare-ups? So you were saying how recently, we'll get into this more in a little bit, but you were recently diagnosed with depression. So is it kind of related to that?
Yeah. And I actually just got medicated for my depression. That's been helping a lot.
That's awesome.
But yeah, it only flares up every like 2 to 3 months, mm-hmm. Which to me, it doesn't seem like a lot, but maybe it is for some people. But yeah, that when it does flare up, it can be pretty bad. My most recent episode right before I got medicated, it was pretty bad. So yeah, okay. That was unfortunate.
Yeah, but every 2 to 3 months does not seem like a lot at all. Honestly, that yeah. Seems like it's really good. So if you're starting to get it under control with the medication and stuff, that's sounding like it's really helping, which is great.
Yeah, it definitely is. I'm really glad that I reached out to my doctor and I got some medication for it. So
yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so now really getting into the topic. So just from the beginning or whenever you want to share about, can you briefly explain your journey transitioning and everything about that?
Yeah.
As much as you're comfortable sharing.
Okay, yeah, I'm an open book, so I will go ahead and share. So I came out as female to male transgender when I was 13. So 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, no one else that I knew of was trans.
Mm-hmm.
So I was the first person out of most of the Heart District to openly come out as trans.
Mm-hmm.
And that was scary. So after I came out, I started like socially transitioning. I changed my name. I changed my pronouns. And basically I was kind of just in that limbo until I was 18 when I started my medical transition.
Okay.
And so at 18, I got top surgery, which is basically masculinization of my chest.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 19, I started testosterone. So every week, every Wednesday, I inject myself with testosterone. And I will have to do that for the rest of my life.
Okay.
Yeah. And recently, actually 6 weeks ago, as of yesterday, I got a full hysterectomy and oophorectomy surgery. So basically they removed all of my internal reproductive organs.
That's amazing. Yeah. Honestly, I really don't know a lot about the medical like transitioning processes that people have to go through, but I'm definitely like, interested to learn more. So that's really cool. So kind of going back into that whole journey, like a little deeper, you mentioned that gender dysphoria is something that you dealt with a lot really deeply. So can you explain your experiences with that and like how it has affected your mental health? And then also like how it has gotten better or worse, like over the past years that you've been transitioning?
Yeah. So before I started my medical transition, it really affected me a lot more. It still affects me every day, but it mm-hmm. definitely took a toll on me. Before my medical transition, when I was still in high school, I was really, really dysphoric about particularly my voice and my chest. And so because of that, I never talked at all. And I really wanted to like make friends, but I just couldn't because I could not speak. I could not get myself to speak. And it was taking a toll on me. I was in classes in high school and I wanted to focus on the material, but as much as I wanted to do that, I couldn't. I just was fixating on my gender dysphoria all day, every day. And it was terrible.
So really quickly, just for anyone who doesn't know, can you explain what gender dysphoria is? I probably should have started with that.
Yeah, I know, you're good. So gender dysphoria is basically when your brain and your body, I guess, don't match. Mm-hmm. So in my case, like I was assigned female at birth, mm-hmm. but my brain is male. And so when I say my chest or my voice gave me dysphoria, it's because like, oh, I thought my voice was high.
Yeah. And you felt those like physical differences and it didn't match up. So it causes that like those weird feelings and that anxiety.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. So anything else about like how that has contributed to the feelings of depression, or like you were talking about the depression, and had that been gradual over those years, or like has it been recent, things like that?
It did affect me in high school because I didn't start my medical transition yet. I felt like I was kind of stuck in a rut. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I just got incredibly depressed. I attempted suicide 3 times. It just was not a fun time. It still affects me now. Definitely not as severe as it was in high school. But yeah, it's still something I struggle with every day.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I mean, that sounds really, really hard, but I think just you coming on here will help so many people possibly going through the same thing. Yeah. So kind of moving on, this is similar, but if you're comfortable talking about it, how have people reacted? Have there been supportive people? Have you had a support system, things like that? And kind of related, how have you had to deal with transphobia?
Yeah. So thankfully I've been blessed with a very supportive family. And friends as well. I used to work for the city of Santa Clarita.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. And at the time I was stealth, and what stealth basically means is just, I wasn't out to anyone as trans. Okay. So everyone was just assuming that I was male, basically just like born male. A cis male, but that's basically just born male.
Okay, so this is after you medically transitioned?
Before.
Okay.
Yeah, this was when I was 16.
Okay.
And my boss continuously was making very transphobic remarks. And I wanted to speak up about it, mm-hmm. but I also didn't want to out myself as trans just because I didn't feel safe to do so in that space.
Right.
And so that was really hard.
Yeah. That sounds horrible. So how did you like mentally deal with that? Cause I'm sure that definitely takes a toll on you, and like that, those feelings of wanting to say something and defending yourself and others, but also, you know, like you were saying, not wanting to come out to those people. And I guess it's just something you have to deal with a lot just because of the overall beliefs of a lot of people.
Yeah. Honestly, I've gotten a lot better about doing this more recently just because I feel the most comfortable I've ever felt in my own skin.
That's great.
And so now I will speak up and say something, mm-hmm. Because if no one's going to say something, then nothing's going to change.
Right.
And so to me, it's worth it at that point. But yeah, when I was working for the city of Santa Clarita, I did not speak up. I honestly was terrified to even say anything at mm-hmm. that point. So yeah, it's definitely a battle for sure.
Yeah. So did that kind of contribute to the depression? And like, this is moving topics a little bit, but is there anything that helped you get through just the overall time period of being like in this hard period for your mental health? Like anything that got you through, or tips or specific things that you did?
Yeah. Honestly, my friends were almost like, well, they were like my chosen family in mm-hmm. a way. Especially when you're in the LGBTQ plus community, you kind of have to have your chosen family of friends who are supportive and loving of who you are. Mm-hmm. And that's incredibly important. Thankfully, I have my twin brother is super supportive and always has been. Mm-hmm. And gotten me through a lot. So yeah, those are basically the main people that really kind of got me through.
That's amazing. I mean, it's good to hear that there's people that are there for you, you know, because a lot of people don't have that, especially just with, you know, everything going on. Moving on, tell us about your recent diagnosis with autism and how that has affected your mental health.
Yeah. So most people who are diagnosed with autism normally get diagnosed when they're like 2 or 3. But in my case, I was diagnosed when I was 18. That's considered very late. That affected my mental health because I wasn't really aware of some of the characteristics that I had that resembled autism at the time. I knew they were different. I knew they were not the norm or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But I didn't have a term to define it. And so when I got that term, it really just opened up my eyes to a whole new perspective of, oh, like, this is what it is.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you're sick for so long, and when you finally like know what you have, you can help yourself.
Exactly. So yeah. Do you mind telling us like some of those traits or how it all kind of came together to create that diagnosis?
Yeah. So I have what's called high functioning autism. Mm-hmm. So just from looking at me outward appearance wise, you would not be able to tell that I have autism.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the traits that led me to this diagnosis would be like, I will very oftentimes do self-stimulatory behavior. Okay. So I will either like tap my knee when I'm sitting, or I'll like absentmindedly just like rock myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't know it. Another huge one for me is loud noises and loud music, especially. I have to have it turned down a lot because I will start freaking out and go into like a full-blown panic attack because I just can't handle loud noises.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And I just think it's so interesting that you can like go your whole life and know that there's something there, but then it like you were saying, when you're diagnosed with it, it kind of opens your eyes to like, wow, this is what I have. And then this is also what autism is, you know, because I think when you don't know a lot about something, or even if you do know a lot about it, but you just haven't experienced it, you can never like see it for what it truly is until you go through it. And I think this is like a perfect example, because once you really go through it and knew that's what you had, you kind of see it in a different light and understand like the complexities of that one term.
Yeah.
Okay. And similarly, but not really, can you explain to us, you were explaining this to me earlier, what, I hope I'm saying it right, bilateral tinnitus?
Yeah.
What that is, and how it kind of contributed to, again, like your depression and also just I think you were saying, yeah, like the stereotypes of the diagnoses, both that and autism.
So bilateral tinnitus is, again, different for everyone just because, like everything, it's not black and white. It's a spectrum.
Right.
And so for me, I experienced bilateral tinnitus as a constant ringing sound in both of my ears.
Okay.
All the time, nonstop. So, yeah, I'll sometimes, depending on like where I am, I'll sometimes have to wear hearing aids.
Okay.
And because of like you're saying, that stereotype, a lot of people will be like, oh, you're old? And I'm like, no, I'm 20. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not old. I just have a hearing loss.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that's really annoying to explain to people, but...
Yeah. And again, just with like the autism, I think there's just so many, like, there's just negative stigma around any disability, like whatever it may be, cognitive or your hearing. It just, there's so many things that I think people are very ableist, and it just, again, just contributes to those feelings of not feeling like you belong and stuff like that.
Yeah. I definitely think it's more so with like invisible disabilities.
Right. Yeah.
With things like depression and anxiety and even like autism in my case.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had a lot of people tell me like, oh, you don't have autism. And I'm just like, okay, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there.
Yeah. And then almost, I mean, I feel like I use these examples all the time, but it's almost worse in some ways because there aren't people there all the time, like helping you and feeling the sympathy for you in like a physical injury or something like that. I use that example a lot for mental illnesses, but even disabilities, you know, especially if you can't see them, like you said, the invisible disabilities or invisible illnesses, it just makes it so much harder because sometimes, even in the beginning, you just feel like you're a lot more alone just because a lot of people can't see it. And it's harder to communicate what you're going through without seeming like you're like faking it, because that is how it will come across to a lot of people who aren't very understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So now I want to talk about your plans for the future. So you were telling me you are an activist and want to help kids. So can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. So I actually have, I'm actually going to be giving a speech to my old high school, West Ranch.
Oh, wow.
About the importance of inclusion to the whole staff in August.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. But in terms of like long-term plans, I want to be a high school counselor. So I can be like an openly queer and disabled high school counselor, because I feel like a lot of kids don't have that. I know I certainly didn't have that when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And so I'd love to be that representation for people.
That's amazing. And I think although it's getting better, there's still such little representation, especially in schools. I think once people get out into the real world, there's just a lot more like resources. But while you're kind of contained and depending on what small town you live in, it kind of just feels like you're in that bubble and there's like no one to help you. So I think that'll be amazing and it'll definitely reduce the stigma around everything and just show kids that it's okay and that there are people there to help them. And I think that'll be really amazing. So that work you're doing is awesome. And you said you published a book.
Yeah, I did.
Tell us about that. That's so cool.
Yeah, thank you. It's called Dear Younger Me.
Okay.
It's on Amazon. It's basically just filled with a whole bunch of quotes that I wish somebody told me when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to impart some of that to other people.
Can you give us some of the quotes or any of a little sneak peek of the types of things?
Well, one of them, I know I already said it already earlier, but it's, unless you speak up and take action, nothing's going to change.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter if you're the first, be the first. Like, people will follow. And so I think that's probably one of my favorite quotes in there.
That's so great. So Amazon is the best way to purchase or to support you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. When did you do that? Was that recently? And how do you go about publishing a book?
Yeah. It was very recent. It was like in the middle to end of this past semester.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, I had this idea for a book, but I just kind of was like, oh, it's not going to happen. Like, why even try it?
Yeah.
But I'm like, you know what? Let's go for it. Let's do it.
That's such a great mentality.
Yeah. Like, I was like, let's make it happen. Like, I don't want to sit back on my life when I'm like 60 or 70 and regret that I didn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it now.
So what do you actually have to do? Like, do you have to, honestly, I know nothing about book publishing. So do you have your idea and then you have to like go to someone? I know this is getting off topic. I'm just super interested.
I actually published my own book.
Okay.
So I didn't go to anyone. I just did it. Just me, myself, and I.
Okay.
Actually, Amazon has a great self-publishing service that I use. It's awesome. But yeah, I basically got into that publishing service and I was writing it as I kind of thought of it.
Uh-huh.
And then I compiled it all together, made the cover, and
that's so cool. That's so amazing that you just went for it. I love that. Okay, so I think we're kind of getting towards the end of the interview, but the last question that I always ask everyone is, do you have any takeaways or final thoughts for anyone who might be going through a similar situation as you?
Yeah, I think my biggest thing would be, don't be afraid to ask for help. I know it can be very intimidating, especially because I know, like, you don't want to open up to essentially a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how hard that can be, but the more open you are, the more people are going to come around you and want to support you and love you. So I think that's definitely the biggest takeaway.
That's so great. Well, thank you so much. I had such a great time. And I hope we can talk again soon, but I think you're going to be such an amazing, well, you already are, but an inspiration to kids and even adults. So I'm really excited for people to listen to this interview.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me. I had a great time. I'm so glad that we were able to pull this together.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.